Good morning. This is Ken Hodge, and I'm going to talk to you this morning. Tour 2, City Gate Processing Plant in Columbus, Ohio. You need to pay, or it is my desire that you pay particular attention to what I'm about to say. If you look at our work environment in the building today, crossing crafts is the way to go, as per management. But I want to say this to you, and I really need you to understand this, because I don't want you to fall down that rabbit hole that when you look at your current work environment, you think it's okay that other crafts are performing mail handler work and clerk work because the post office says it's an emergency and they're short of people. I'm going to try with everything I have to prove to you that don't fall for that, because I'm going to tell you today, and I'm going to continue to tell you, the post office created this shortage. And I hope you don't fall prelude to the fact that now all of a sudden we all have to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. No, that's not going to happen. And I need mail handlers particularly to become united so we can stand up against management to let them know, no, we're not going to take that. You created this situation. You're not going to continue to take mail handler jobs and give it to city delivery personnel, maintenance managers, implant support, custodian supervisors. You're not going to just continue to take our jobs and do that. And if we don't stand united right now, then what's going to happen is it's going to have a snowball effect, and then they're going to start to take jobs via bids in other avenues. Now, I know everyone's aware that we are in a pandemic. Everyone's aware that we have a depleted work staff. So that's not news to anybody. And just like it's not news today, it should not have been news 6 or 7 months ago. So if the post office wants to stay a viable entity or a viable business, they have to make expedite the attempt to change and get in line with the processes that they're trying to run. And what I said, all that just to say, they should have hired at least 30 or 40 more people. And you say, well, where does that number come from? Let me say this to you. Let's play with numbers just for a second, because I want mail handlers to understand the impact of not standing united and force management into monetary compensation for all the work hours that they're taking out of the mail handler craft. And notice I'm saying make them accountable via monetary compensation, because right now that extra manpower is needed because the post office didn't plan and have enough craft employees. Now, I said we're going to play with numbers just for a second. Let me explain to you from a different perspective, because I know if you work tour two, you see it all day. Let me explain to you what's happening. Currently, there's about 7 to 8 personnel from delivery and collection doing an awesome job. I mean, wait a minute, don't get me wrong, but those postmasters are down there putting in work. They are getting packages out of City Gate onto rented vehicles out to their stations, and it is creating or freeing up a lot of free floor space. But nonetheless, that's about 7 to 8 people every day. You've got about 3 supervisors who do craft work all day. You got 2 maintenance supervisors who do craft work all day. Now, it doesn't stop there. And once again, these folks are out there doing an awesome job. But then you have the special section set up. It's called the implant support cutting hole. And they are doing a phenomenal job. But nonetheless, you've got the implant support manager, 3 supervisors, and 4 to 5 employees in a cutting hole. And again, I say, that extra work resource is needed. But again, I'm not going to lose sight of the fact that it's now needed, but I'm going to maintain my focus on it was not planned properly by the post office, and therefore monetary compensation to the mail handling craft is warranted. Now, going from delivery personnel all the way to the implant support cutting hole, do you realize on tour two alone, that's about 20 extra people, 20, 2-0, extra people on tour two alone. Now, let's just say, including last week and right now, there's about 14 more days to Christmas. So I would anticipate that this is going to continue. So for the next, for 14 days, at 20 extra personnel, 8 hours each, that's 160 hours a day on tour two alone. You multiply that by 14, that's about 2,240 hours. Did you hear what I said? That's about 2,240 hours that should be paid to the mail handler craft that we're losing because the post office is convincing employees or convincing whoever it is they need to convince that there's an emergency, and that's why they have to cross crafts at such an alarming rate. One more number I want to give you. Of those 2,240 hours, if you multiply that at the medium overtime rate for a mail handler, do you realize that's almost $75,000? That's right, $75,000 of 14 days before Christmas that the mail handler craft is losing unless we sit to the table and come at some type of monetary compensation, because that's just a gross negligent and lack of respect for the mail handler as a craft. And we cannot, and when I say we, I'm talking to the mail handlers in Columbus, Ohio. We cannot allow that to happen. Mail handlers, we cannot go quietly into the night. We must rage. Oh, I'm sorry, different setting. Hey, but anyway, no, we have to stand united because we cannot allow this to happen. Again, that's a lot of money on the table. Now, let me just say to you that the compensation I think mail handlers are entitled to has got nothing to do with mail handlers not being allowed to work 12 hours a day. That's got nothing to do with that. That's got to do, and it's solely based on the post office inability to maintain the proper mail handler complement. And especially when they're in a period where they can go over cap as much as they want, if they fail to plan and bring enough people on board, then I think that that's no fault of the mail handler craft. And as I continue to build a stronger work relationship with our plant manager, when I talk to him, you can tell he's very impressed by the production that's coming out of Columbus, Ohio right now. So again, in the midst of everything that we're talking about, the mail handlers and the clerks in that building, you straight putting out a whole lot of work right now. I mean, if you look, there's a board. I mean, if you're interested in it, I don't know. But there's a board in the lobby when you walk in the building. It shows you what you're doing now compared to same period last year. If you're interested, stop by, take a look at it. But again, when it comes to processing, I'm pretty sure in Lakeland District that Columbus, Ohio is ranked second to none. And after you look at that board to show you same period last year and how awesome you're doing as a unit, as you walk closer towards the door, you're going to see a letter hanging there from OSHA. Now, somebody must have contacted OSHA and alleged ABC. I'm going to give you a little bit. I'm going to read to you a little bit of that letter that hangs on the entrance to where you go to work every day. Come on, folks, we got to be a little more aware of what's going on around us. On December 5th, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration received a notice of alleged workplace hazards at your work site. Now, this is a letter from OSHA to Mr. Carrington for the post office. We notified you by telephone of these allegations or hazards on December 7th. The specific nature of the alleged hazard is as follows. Employees are alleging exposed to the following hazardous conditions. 1, mail is stored in the designated aisles for pedestrians and forklift traffic areas, making it impossible to stay in the walkways. Gaylords of mail are stored in front of emergency exits. Now, again, this hangs in the door of the post office, so it's not like a top secret that nobody knows. Everybody has access to this information. Now, OSHA said they did not determine whether the hazard, as alleged, exists at your workplace, and they do not intend to conduct an inspection at this time. However, because allegations of violations and or hazards have been made, we request that you immediately investigate the alleged conditions and make any necessary conditions or modifications. That bell means it's about to get interesting. No, you must provide support documents. They had to advise OSHA by December 14th of the results of their investigation. So whoever or whomever notified OSHA of mail being stored in designated aisleways and gaylords of mail stored in front of emergency exits, if that issue was so important to you, and I'm glad it was, then follow up and contact Mr. George Carrington, and he should give you a copy of his response to OSHA. Now, one last thing. OSHA again says to the post office, this is not a citation or a notification of proposed penalty. But they do say, if we do not receive a response from you by December 14th, 2020, indicating that appropriate actions have been taken or that no hazard exists and why, an OSHA inspection will be conducted. So again, I'm sure Mr. Carrington won't mind allowing you to look at his response to OSHA so that he can satisfy whatever issues you may have had. But, you know, here's the thing. Because of all the manpower and the work that delivery and collection is doing in the plant, believe me, a lot of that floor space is being freed up. So once, I guess, the MDOs understand that, I think better mail placement should probably be evident, because if not, then they may be in a position to address some issues with OSHA again, and that's not good for anybody. Some people were under the assumption that I made the initial contact with OSHA, but I can assure you that was not me. And if you know anything about the KHP Kenny Hodge podcast and the podcaster, if I did it, I say I did it. Closing the podcast out on this OSHA issue. Listen real quick. You got to understand, right now, delivery and collection is putting in so much work in a plant that they are creating a lot of free floor space. Now, again, the work that delivery and collections, I meant the postmasters, I say delivery and collection, I guess I'm old school. The work that they're doing is helping to eliminate a lot of those OSHA issues. We just have to be smarter about where we now choose to place mail, or put more people out on the dock to work. Excuse me, did I say that? No, but anyway, just like old times, customer service coming to bail out processing. But I hope, for the sake of work hours, that customer service transfers all those work hours back to function zero or function one. Somehow get those hours back into the plant. And I say that from a mail handler's perspective, because if the post office won't agree that there's some monetary compensation due to the mail handlers for the injustice with not having enough career people hired and thereby forcing them to cross crafts. Well, if they don't agree to a monetary settlement, then the union is going to have to request work hours. And if you're going to request work hours, again, that's about 2,240 work hours that won't show up in any work hour analysis. So real quick, delivery is creating space in the plant. We just have to use it a little more efficiently. That's Kenny Hodge, and that's my show. Have a good one, everybody.